sermon last week on when life is not fair. And I think that we need to realize that life isn't always fair, is it? The idea that good things happen or bad things happen to good people. Sometimes good things happen to bad people. Isaiah 52 verse 12 says, "For the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the Lord God of Israel will protect you from behind." We need to remember all the time that God is here, that God is there. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." I've heard friendship described this way: when everyone else walks out, a real friend walks in. Jesus clings to us closer than a brother. He is always here. And because when he is always here, when life is unfair, when life is scary, when life changes, is that right?
Yes.
And I can't read them all from here, but you'll hear them all in a minute. The scripture verse for the first lesson is from Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble." I'm reminded when I read that of Psalm 91 that says this: "Whoever dwells in shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He is my refuge. He is my fortress, in God whom I trust." Y'all trusting Him this week? Do you trust? Wait, come on. Need to get excited here. You ready? Anybody want to be excited this week? I'll tell you what, if you think about excitement this week, you come on Thursday night and you watch kids give their life to Christ. It's happened every year since I've been here. Every time we do Bible school, at least for the last 10 or 15 years, I get to present the gospel on Thursday night, and every Thursday night someone responds in faith. And some of those who have responded in faith on Thursday night, I've been able to baptize. And so I'm looking forward to that this week. I hope you are too. He is our refuge. You know, the thing about it is when life seems unfair, the lesson's going to be, the Bible story is going to be about the Israelites. And because the Israelites grew and began to threaten those who were in power in Egypt, they made them slaves. God's people becoming slaves. Is that fair? It's absolutely unfair. Because wasn't God watching out over them? Didn't God promise them certain things? But we need to learn that life isn't always fair. But God's there. When life is unfair,
God is good.
And here's the result of that. God sent Moses to deliver his people from the hand of slavery and lead them to the promised land. God always has a purpose. We may not see it, but God always has a purpose. When we think life is unfair, remember this: God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You are not alone. You are not living unseen. You are in the presence of God, and we need to realize that when life is unfair,
God is good.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you all need to wake up. Right, Ken?
Sure.
I just woke Ken up. When life is unfair,
God is good.
You know, I get to be up here today, right? And I can repeat that as often as I want. Some people will like it, some people might not, but when life is good,
God
is good. Did I say when life is good? Okay. I'll try not to mess that up again. Day two is Harper. What kind of bird is that? Does anybody know?
It's a
what? Say that again.
A hoopoe.
A hoopoe?
Yes. It's the exact same spelling, except for ER is replaced for a couple of O's.
Well, I've just learned something. I never knew there was a hoopoe bird. Day two is when life is scary.
God is good.
And the Bible verse that week is Psalm 23:4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will" what? Fear no evil, because why? You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Life can be scary because we don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes life is scary. David said, I won't be afraid. Why? Why do we not need to be afraid? Because God has promised us that he is with us, right? God walks every step of our lives with us. And we need to learn to trust him and to deliver us from fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the midst of the scariest situations, God is there to comfort us, to guide us, to let us, to shower us with his grace and his mercy. Life can become scary when we live in the moment. We need to remember what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do in our lives. Talked about in Sunday school this morning, we need to take a look at the way God has worked in our lives. I've said it a lot, but we need to develop a personal timeline so that we can look back over our lives and see how God has been at work in our lives. I can go back to the time I was 11 years old at Christmas. I asked for a Bible. I got my first Bible December 25th, 1962. And I look back at that time, and I wasn't a believer then. I just wanted a Bible so that I could read about God. You see, I've always believed in God. I've always known there was a God there. I just didn't know him. When life is scary, God is good. I won't be afraid. The story is about God caused the 10 plagues to fall on Egypt. Yet in all that, the Israelites were not harmed. The result is that Moses led God's people out of Egypt. God was always there. He hadn't forgotten his people. They didn't need to be afraid. And yet sometimes they were because they forgot God was there. Are we afraid? Sometimes, but we're afraid because we forget God is there. We forget God goes before us, that God walks with us, and that God comes behind us. We sometimes forget the power of God. And so we begin to fear things that really aren't that fearful. When life is scary,
God is good.
Day 3, Marge. That's the nastiest looking water buffalo I've ever seen. That's a Cape buffalo. Don't water buffaloes look like that too? I'm just thinking. But when life changes,
God is good.
What's the verse? Psalm 106:1, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. If we could take that one verse and make the whole theme of Bible school. Praise the Lord. If we praise the Lord, life won't be so scary. If we praise the Lord, life, we'll see life in a different way, even though sometimes it appears to be unfair. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Do we do that? Can that be said of us, that we do that on a regular basis? That we give thanks to the Lord, for he is
good.
His steadfast love endures forever. And we need to realize that God doesn't walk out of our lives. I said before, when everyone else walks out of our lives, a friend is one who will walk in. And that's who God is. And that's what God does. And the fact is, our lives do change. We change locations. We get different jobs. We get married. I guess I disagree with someone who said in Sunday school class that removing the obstacles of joy in your life would be to remove your wife. They were saying that facetiously, of course. But the fact is, we get married, we have kids. I promise you, when you get married, it changes your life. When you have children, it changes your life to the nth degree. Life is never going to be the same. The good thing about our children was we brought Michael home. He slept through the night right away. Whew. Didn't have to get up every 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever. He slept all through the night. We brought Stacy home, not so much. She might sleep an hour at a time. But it changes your life because you have different responsibilities. The things that you always were free to do, you may not have that freedom now. But that's not a bad thing. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. Hallelujah. And so when God, when Moses led God's people out of Egypt, their lives were changing and they would never be the same again. They walked through the wilderness, and yet God proved his goodness by providing them with food. God guided them. It is an incredible thing that when life changes, I need a sign. Do y'all have a little sign I can hold up that says, God is good? You know, I know it says the first line, but when I it's like a cue card, right? When life is scary,
God is good.
All right, we got it. It's an amazing thing how what happens when God leads us to a place and when changes happen in our lives. And when the people were being led out of Egypt, they were afraid. And yet I want you to hear this song. It's called the Song of Moses and Miriam in Exodus 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? I like that verse. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness. Is that how we see him? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory. Our God is majesty. We sing that song, Majesty, a chorus, which is one of my favorites. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Verse 18. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that God reigns, that God is always on the throne, that nothing happens out of his control? Do you believe that God guides our paths in our lives? So does God guide us through change? And regardless of how we might look at it, we need to realize God has our best interests at heart, and we don't have to be afraid of change. When life changes, Day 4, Zion the Lion. Did they do that on purpose? Name Zion the Lion?
Yes.
If Joyce says yes, then I agree. And the idea is, when life is sad,
God is good.
Y'all believe that? It's hard to look at God and see him as being God when life is sad.
God is good.
I don't know that I meant it that time. Psalm 34. This is the Bible verse. Psalm 34. Excuse me. Beginning in verse 18. I'm going to go back. All right, now I'm lost. Anyway, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. I wrote down the wrong scripture, Kiko. You can slap me later. But the Lord, do y'all believe that? That God is near to the brokenhearted? You know, someone once said, and I'm not sure, that when you do this, or when you touch your nose, it's an indicator that you're lying. Trust me on this one. This just it's just a habit. I'm not lying to you this morning, Deb. I am not lying. I want you to, and I don't have one up here, but I'm going to find one. Hand me a hymnal. Jim, would you please?
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. If you have access to a hymnal, turn to hymn number 65. That's why I love the hymns, because the hymns are a story, a great story about the relationship between the hymn writer and God.
Hymn number 65. Just When I Need Him Most. It was written by a man named William C. Poole. Just when I need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him, Jesus is true. Never forsaking all the way through. Giving for burdens, pleasures anew. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Jesus is strong. Bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him, he is my all, answering when upon him I call. Tenderly watching, lest I should fall. Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Y'all know that chorus? All right, look up here. We're going to sing that chorus. Just when I need him most. Just Jesus is near to comfort and cheer just when I need him most. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. When life leads you, or when life gives you things that break your heart, realize this: God has sent people to comfort us. God sends people. God uses his word. God uses prayer. God uses hymns. And God uses praise songs to comfort and help us get through times when we are brokenhearted. When our hearts break, we can either wallow in pity or we can look to Jesus. Just when I need him most. You know, sometimes I think back over my lives and see some of those times when my heart was broken. And it didn't seem like life made sense. And yet during those times, God always sent someone to bring me comfort. I always found comfort when I opened his word. I can find comfort in the songs, praise songs or hymns, because there is something, I don't even know what it is, but there is a place in your life that only music can touch. I believe that music can heal us in places and in times that words cannot. Just when I need him most. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. When life is sad,
God is good.
Zion the lion. The fifth one is a giraffe. Y'all like giraffes? I'm not sure. All right, we'll get rid of some of this stuff. Let me back up a little bit. The idea of being sad, brokenhearted. How disappointed, how brokenhearted was Mary when she went to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. John chapter 20. She goes to the tomb, and then Jesus says in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Earlier, she stands broken at the tomb and she's grieving. But here, Jesus appears to her, and what happens? She gets excited because he was there. He appeared to the disciples later. And the disciples, it says in verse 20, were overjoyed. Let me ask you about your relationship with God this morning. How close is your relationship with God? How important is that relationship with you? Do we take that relationship for granted? Do we, when our hearts are broken, turn to Him first instead of wallowing in our sorrow, of throwing a pity party? Jesus died and the disciples went into hiding. They were afraid. They were brokenhearted. And what gave them hope again? What encouraged them again? What gave them their joy back? Jesus was there. Jesus showed up. In our lives, when we hurt the most, Jesus shows up the most. And maybe that's not completely true, but what I do know is this. In my life, when I've needed him the most, I've experienced his presence the most. That's why I honestly have a trouble with the last Bible point. I just do. It says, when God is good, when life is good, God is good. Is that how we see him sometimes? That we have everything we want and life is good, God is good? Maybe if we looked at him in this way, that he's the source of all blessing, then God is good. But sometimes I'm afraid that we only need God when things are going badly. Do we depend on him when things are going well? To the extent that we do when we're afraid, or when life changes, or when life is unfair? In all those situations. But I just wonder. God is good. And life is good because God is good. And that's what we need to remember. So if I look at it that way, if I look at that Bible point that way, then it makes sense to me. But I'm afraid sometimes when life is good that we become too casual. I think that's why, at least in my life, my time, my relationship with God, the greatest periods of spiritual growth in my life follow a disaster. Because I'm forced to turn to God. I'm forced to depend on Him. I learn how to depend upon Him more. And so that's when I learn more about God. And sometimes, when life is good, I just kind of forget that relationship. I used to work with a fellow named Harry Watling. Harry was in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. Harry was taken prisoner by the Germans during that battle. And Harry was one of those guys, and told me this story. He made a foxhole promise to God. God, if you get me out of this, I will serve you and do whatever you want me to do. He gets out of the army. God calls him to the ministry. Harry says no. Harry begins to live his life because it was good. He wasn't a prisoner anymore. He came back to the United States. He had a job. Came back to his family. And things were much better. And because life was good that way, Harry didn't keep his promise to God. That's one of the things I'm concerned about when life is good. Now, we revel in the fact that life is good, don't we? We enjoy life being good. But don't let the idea of life being good move you away from that personal, passionate relationship with God. When life is good, God is good. The Bible verse is Nehemiah 4:14. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes." The Bible story is about Joshua leading the people across the Jordan River. What happened? God leads Joshua and the people across the Jordan River. What happens as a result? They get to the promised land, obviously, but once they cross the river, what does Joshua tell the people? Take 12 stones. Go build a memorial so that they could be assigned to your sons and their sons and their sons. You remember the good times and the fact that God has been with you. Y'all build memorials in your life? Do you all have memorials you look back on? August 18th, 1973. That's a memorial for me. That's the day I was born. November 24th, 1974. August 27th, 1977. March 7th, 1987. Those were the births of our children. I don't know the specific day, but November of 1972 was the time I was saved. That's a memorial for me. God called me in the ministry. I look back, and that is a memorial in my life. You need to look back over your life and see the important times. Those memorials are a result of the goodness of God. I am looking forward. Are there kids in here? You know, here's what amazes me about kids. You look around, and Hal has on a green shirt, right? Other kids. Let me see the other kids that don't. I'm not talking about these two. Pardon?
Sam has yellow.
What color you two guys have?
Orange.
Why? Your leaders. Isn't that something to look back on and say, thank you, Jesus? You know, they're leaders. They've developed into leaders. Here's something I am really thankful for, and this is a memorial in my life. Every year that those two ladies stand up here on this platform, every year that Tori and Kiko stand on this platform is a memorial for me. Because I look back over the years, 25 years, sometimes more than that. As a matter of fact, there is one picture that we're going to recreate on my last Sunday here. I was sitting in the hallway on a chair, and Kiko was standing there in front of me. We're just talking. I think she has her Bible in her hand. On the last Sunday, we're going to do the same thing. That's memorial for me. And the fact that God has raised up people from inside this church to do what God has called them to do is amazing. And those are the good things, and those are the things I'm going to remember. And so, when life is good,
God is good.
All right, here are the points. You ready? When life is unfair,
God is good.
When life is scary,
God is good.
When life changes,
God is good.
You can be louder, it's all right. When life is sad,
God is good.
And when life is good, that pretty much sums up life, doesn't it? In all those situations, God is good. God is faithful. God can be trusted. God keeps his promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go ahead of you. I will come behind you. I will walk with you. You don't need to be afraid, no matter what happens. In our worst times, God is good. And in our best times, God is good. And this week, leaders, we have the opportunity to teach kids that. Maybe kids who have never been in church before. Kids that don't belong to this church. But you and I have the opportunity to touch lives for Jesus. And that's what we're going to do. You know, all the confusion and all the stuff and all the weariness and all those things, and there will be other situations that come up, we are going to touch lives for Jesus and see lives transformed. And here's what I know. When children's lives are changed, parents' lives are changed. And so that's our responsibility. And we may never see that in our lifetime, but we can take comfort in the fact, or be encouraged, or be joyful in the fact that when we plant seeds, God grows the seeds. Make sense? All right. You all remember the Bible points? I say that because I had to call Deb this week and ask her to send them to me. When life is unfair,
God is good.
When life is scary,
God is good.
When life changes,
God is good.
When life is sad,
God is good.
When life is good,
God is good.
Mike, come play a song for us.